to message. Today is going to be on Galatians 1, 6 through 9. The title of the message is No Other Gospel. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ, who are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Righteous Father, would you be with us today? Would you expose the false gospel that is going around, that looks good on the surface, but it cannot save? It points to a different object other than Jesus Christ. And let us know what the true gospel is. Please do not let any one of us in this room be one of the ones that would be accursed. How tragic would that be, to be separated eternally from you and the beauty of your Son? None of us could ever bear that. We ask that you would be with us today. You would speak through somebody like me and speak to each and every single one of us as though God was speaking through a man. And would you allow this sermon not just to stay with us, but it would do a work to where we would have to speak to others. We would live differently. We would be able to see false prophets, and the word of God, as we had read through it, it would expose them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
So in verse 6, Paul is amazed how quickly they believe the false gospel. They are being deceived by false teachers. The gospel is being distorted here from the gospel of grace to the gospel of works. We are saved by faith alone. Faith alone is the main theme of Galatians. Faith alone is where most attacks on the gospel will come. Here are some verses in Romans that will show us we are saved by faith apart from works. Romans 3:28. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. We see people are saved by faith apart from works, and a person is only justified by faith. Point number one. Called by God. Going back to verse 6, let's focus on him that called you in the grace. This is something that could be overlooked, but needs to be said. This is an effectual call to his people. This call goes out through the gospel. He calls his people personally, and he saves them. This is an irresistible call, because they are given to a new nature and are made willing. A person is never saved kicking and screaming against their will. They are given a new will who loves God. In other words, a person is born again and given a new nature. All who are effectually called are kept saved by the power of God. Let's go to a few verses to show this. Romans 8:29-30. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, also glorified. In this verse, we see everyone who is predestined is called. All who are called are justified and glorified. This process is all done by God. God effectually calls his people and he saves them. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise him up on the last day. There is a lot that could be said about this verse. We could spend many weeks and months right here on this verse. There's so much doctrine. Let's just leave it at no one can come to God unless he draws them. Or in other words, unless he calls them. And that person will be saved on the last day. It's not up to question. That person will be saved on the last day by the power of God. After saying all of this, the point seems he was talking to Christians here in our text who were saved but believing false teachers. They were being misled. There were some teachers who were not saved, though, here is what it's saying. The teachers were not saved. These people were the ones who were called. That's why we went through that. God calls his people and he saves them at the end. But these people were trying to mislead these brothers and sisters in Christ. They were trying to lead some people astray. Point number two, a different gospel. John MacArthur said, there are basically only two kinds of religion in the world. Those based on human achievement and those based on divine accomplishment. One says you can earn your way to heaven, and the other says you must trust in Jesus Christ alone. He nails it right here with this quote. Anything to do with human achievement or works is another gospel. That's what this is all about. It's another gospel if you add anything to the person and work of Jesus Christ. So going back to our verse, turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one. This is the different gospel spoken of here in our verse. Also, we are told there is not another gospel. This is what separates true Christianity from everything else. All other religions and false Christianity are saved by something they did. They are saved by good works. Christians are saved by Christ Jesus, through the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. A different gospel sounds good sometimes. You will hear things like, make Jesus Lord and Savior. Say this and you will be saved. Ask Jesus into your heart. Jesus has done all he can. Now it is up to you. Be baptized and you will be saved. Many will have a list of things for you to do. Maybe you've heard of the four spiritual laws, or you've seen it on tracts. This is a list of things you can do to be saved. That's nonsense. It's by faith alone. You can do nothing to save yourself. So let's not get confused here. Jesus does command everyone to repent and believe. That's in Mark 1:15. I'm not saying anything against this command. Let me explain. This is not what saves you, but is a result of being saved. It's a result of faith alone. If a person does not repent and believe, they are not saved. However, that is not what caused them to be born again in the first place. Everything in salvation is a gift of God and a result of the gift of faith. To repent and believe are both gifts, and faith and action. So what I am not saying here is anything against you must repent and believe because you must. But that is also a work of God in and through you, because Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of your faith. He that begun a good work will finish it. So he began it and he will finish it. That's just a process. He works in and through you to will and to work. We work out our salvation because he's working in us. So when I say faith alone, I mean faith alone. And when I say repent and believe, as Christ did in Mark 1:15, everybody is commanded to repent and believe. Point number three, false teachers. The last part of verse 7 says, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. During this time, there were Jews telling Gentiles that they needed to add circumcision or observing the law to Christianity in order to be saved. Jesus was not enough to them. That is another gospel. That is the gospel of works. That is the gospel that cannot save. Let's go to Corinthians 11, 3 through 4. And it says, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. We must remember Eve was not yet corrupted by sin here. The serpent was cunning enough to deceive her. She was without the disease of sin. We must be on alert, especially since we are born corrupted with this disease of sin. We are more easily enticed to what the serpent or his servants would have for us than where Eve was. Second Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Satan is most likely going to come to you in some form of religion. Satan and his followers are disguised as servants of righteousness. Many people have heard Satan disguises himself, but have not heard about his servants disguising their selves. Most people are usually, the devil made me do this, or it was the devil doing that. Well, maybe it was his other servants of unrighteousness that were enticing you to do that. You already wanted to do by your nature. He will look like somebody like perhaps the Pope, or perhaps a Mormon or Jehovah Witness at your door dressed in a suit. That looks good. They come smiling. They come with their other gospel. And he comes to your door like that. It looks good. It looks religion. They look happy. They look like, hey, yeah, God had to have done something in their life. Look what they're doing. They're not out drinking. They're not doing whatever they please. They're at my door trying to give me some gospel. Also, it comes in the form of a social gospel. And this gospel looks good, but it is disguised as, let's get together for the greater good. And the greater good without the gospel is no good at all. Now, I'm not saying, as we've had hurricanes come and hit Texas and now is going through Florida. I'm not saying we should not help these people. But if we really want to help these people, we go with the gospel. And the other stuff will follow because that's just our new nature. We would want to help them. We would say, how can we help you? But we would give them this message of good news that they are not getting. There's more than people need than just clothes and food. But if those people do need that, let's give it to them.
Right.
I am going to read through some scripture that warns us and talks about false prophets and teachers. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Here is another one. It is Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Avoid such people. A lot of the people on TV have a really good appearance. They're on TV, right? They're dressed nice. They have a lot of people in the crowd. They have an appearance of godliness, but deny its power. They try to show you this fake power to get your money. It's all about them. Do not be fooled by these people. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. It's another warning for us. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. You will know these people by their fruits. Hang with me through these. These warnings are very important. I will read one more verse here. Matthew 24, 24. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, as to lead thee astray, if possible, even the elect. We must pay attention to such verses and warnings. If we would examine so-called apostles and teachers with scripture, we would be able to see that they are not from God. The biggest indicator of a false prophet or teacher is their way of life. What is their fruit? You will know them by their fruit. How do they live? Their lack of repentance. Their lack of talking about Jesus or sharing the gospel. Most of these people want to exalt themselves. They will be doing it to earn their way to heaven or to get rich. That's what many false teachers want. Because it's another gospel. They don't understand faith alone. They got to do something. They got to tell you what you need to do because it makes them look good. Because then they can go after Sunday, that Monday morning. Well, how many people got saved in the church? Oh, yeah, we had 20 baptisms. Yeah, we had 30 people that got saved this month. They want to be able to have some type of number or claim because it makes them look good and they feel good. And that's just terrible right there. It should be all about Christ because it's faith alone. It's not about anything that you can do. Point number four, the true gospel. Galatians 1:3-4. Paul says what the gospel is. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom will be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is the gospel. He gave himself for our sins to deliver us. This was done according to the will and the plan of God. Sin separates a person from God. Jesus restores a person back to God from their sin. It is all about him. Another place we can go is 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according with the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with our scripture. Now let me ask you a question. Where are you in either of these two verses? What part of the gospel are you? The gospel is all about Christ, not us, or what we can do. All we can do is offer our sin. That's all we have to offer God is our sin. Our best work is a filthy rag to God. That is the best we could offer him. This even happened before we were born. Jesus died and was buried and rose before every single person in this room was born. So we are not part of that gospel. He already did it. He did it. We can't do that. We're not the gospel. He's the gospel. Vodi Balcom said this, and this is a really good quote. It gets the point across. The word gospel means announcement. It means news. We do not live the gospel. That is foolishness. You do not live news. You can't live out the news from yesterday's newspaper and expect people to understand it. Mankind wants something to do to be saved. People do not understand this would make another object of faith rather than Jesus Christ. This would also mean Jesus was not able to save anybody because he still needed you to be able to do something. He was not able to save you. That's what it's saying right there. That is not the gospel at all. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." That means he saved his people completely. He paid the price for sin that nobody else could pay. Jesus bore the full wrath of God in the place of his people. That is why Jesus is the gospel. We must proclaim Jesus to others. Have you ever heard the quote, "Preach the gospel, and at all times use words if necessary"? That's pretty popular. Most people have heard that. But that statement is truly false. If faith comes by hearing, And if the gospel is the power unto salvation for those who believe, and we are not the gospel, then that statement is false. It is really about the social gospel. I must tell everybody, please, please use words because it is necessary. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. So don't fall into such quotes as that, that looks good as a social gospel for the greater good. Point number five, let them be accursed. Another way of saying accursed is what we heard earlier from Jeff, anathema. This is very strong language by Apostle Paul. It is found also in 1 Corinthians 16:22. If anyone has no love for the Lord, let him be accursed, or anathema. If they have no love for the Lord, he says, if you love me, you'll obey my command. So the people who do not love him or obey him, let them be anathema. That is very strong language, and that is the only other place you see that in the Bible. To distort the gospel is a very serious charge here. We need to treat such people as lost and condemned already. That's what the Bible says about people. If you have not believed on the only Son of God, you are condemned already. That's why we do not condemn anybody. We have no such power. But the word of God says they're condemned already without Jesus Christ. Unless they repent, they will end up in eternal destruction or hell. That is, of course, if they do not repent, they will be the ones spoken of here in Matthew 7:21-23. This verse was about such people, but also applies to everybody else. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Listen to this last part of this verse. Please listen to it and take note. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's almost in scripture. When I go back and think about it, it's like a darkness you can feel. How scary is that? Depart from me, I never knew you. And you thought you were one of these people. You thought you were one of those people. These people, in today's terms, would be called pastor, elder, deacon, youth pastor, worship leader. Just because a person has a certain title or teaches or preaches does not mean they are born again. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. In closing, we see in our passage, there is only one gospel. There is only one way to be saved. Any other so-called gospel or way to be saved will end in being cursed by God, as these false teachers will be. Let me go back real quick and just read our verse again, because I think it'll have more meaning now that we went through this. I'm just going to read it again real quick. Galatians 1:6-9. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed or anathema. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed and anathema. That is said twice. We must really pay attention to that. He said it twice. And that's what they do in the Bible to get your attention every time they want to really bring out a point. That's what they used to do back in the language. They'd say it twice to bring out the meaning of it. So our application, what would our application be through a sermon like this? Do not encourage anyone who preaches a false gospel. We need to treat them as the mission field. So when they come to your door with a different gospel, do not send them out encouraged. Give them the gospel. That's how we could apply this. If the gospel is really this important, we need to share the gospels with ourselves and others daily, as much as we can. We must be about God's work in God's kingdom because He's working in and through us. And it's all about Him, so let's go tell everybody all about Him. We exist to proclaim the glories and excellencies of Him. If that's why we exist, let's do that. Not to earn anything, not as another gospel, not as addition to, hey, we're doing something to what Jesus Christ already did, but because we love Him. He gave us this new nature. Let's live that nature. Be careful to not be deceived by religious people of Satan and his followers. Because interestingly enough, every single person in this room has at least had them come to your door two or three times. And somehow they know where you moved, right? They come to your door. I mean, you could even be on a trip or something. They knock on your hotel room. You find these people on the beach. It's like somehow Satan finds you with these people that look good. They have this religion, this other gospel. But be on alert for that. Do not be fooled by these people because they're going to come. But sadly enough, not everybody's had the true gospel come to them. But everybody's had 3 to 5 times of the false gospel. Let's change that, at least in our area. Why not let everybody know what the true gospel is? And then say, hey, do you want to come and be a part of what God's doing here? And then we should let's just pray during the week and as we go throughout the week for revival. A revival in this area and every single area that we live in, that God would just have this movement of Him. And we wouldn't have to create any type of false fire because God would be there. We wouldn't need lights and music and say, come up here and you could be saved, because we would have God with us. He would be the one that would work. The movement would be all about Him, coming from Him. We would just be a part of it. Let us pray God would come change His people, call His people out. Think about that. It was a couple times when I was going door to door, I'd had this one thought. You know how neat it is that God calls people out, right? He calls people into Himself. Being a part of that, it's like, oh wow, I'm being sent from a church to go to a door and He's calling them out. Isn't that neat? God is calling them out using you. Who are we? We're nobody. This is just a message or a track or something you're giving somebody, but God's saving them. Saving them for eternity. And it does make a difference. And we could do that in the power of God. So let us just pray for revival. Let us be a part of His work. Let's pray. Father God, we're just so grateful for You and that salvation is of the Lord. We could know You and understand You. We could hear You speak by reading Your word out loud. We know what You had to say for us because we could just open it up in your book, Your spoken word, Your Bible, and it's living and active. And the more we read it, the more our lives are transformed. Let us read the word of God more and more so we will not be deceived by anybody, not to earn salvation, but because it's living and active and it's going to have more of an effect on our life. The more we read, the less we will sin, Lord. Please let every single one of us just encourage each other. Examine ourselves. Let's not just examine everybody else like people want to do. Let's examine each and every single one of ourselves and how we could grow in you and grow in holiness, in your power and in your strength, Lord. Would you use each and every single one of us? Would you use us to call your people to you? Would you save your people in this area and anywhere that we would go? Would you allow each and every single one of us this very day, this very week, to have divine appointments? That we'd be set out, that you'd send us to your people, and that you would mightily come and save them. Give them a new nature. Give them a new love, Jesus Christ. Let them cast their eyes upon you as we would cast our eyes upon you, Lord. And would you be with us as we go out and proclaim your truth? And leave the results to you. And whatever you would have for this church, to you, because you're the one who builds your church. It's all about you. We just want to be a part of you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.